Good morning, everyone. Well, morning here. Welcome to another Academy. We are excited to be here for another Friday. I'm Josh Dobie, and I'm here with Pastor Peter. Welcome.
Welcome, everybody. And I trust give us a shout out. So we know we live stream both onto Facebook and to YouTube. So give us a shout out which one you're using, which one you prefer. Particularly interested to know Facebook because technology, Facebook was not connecting to us. So I think we're connected. I trust you're watching on Facebook. If you are watching on Facebook,
yes,
please give us a shout out just we can know the technology side's working because that's outside of our control.
Yeah.
That's we rely a little bit on Facebook
If you're our regulars, we're relying on you. We love your input. We don't just want you to comment. We value your input. We value knowing that we're speaking to people now and in the future. And if you're new, you're so welcome to comment. Tell us you're new.
Yeah.
We'd love to know about you and welcome you. We are excited. And as always, you are so welcome to be here in the studio. We love, as we always say, that we can do this online. But we've bought seats here. We've got
the people that come in and
they
stay quiet there, but they're there watching.
We won't ever embarrass you or put you on camera,
but we
love having people in the studio.
People think, oh, if they come in, they've got to come in behind the camera, and they're like, oh, I don't want to do that. No, you can come in. We won't talk to you. We won't turn the camera and say, look who's here. You can come and just sit and enjoy.
Yeah,
it's part of that.
You might make a sound and I might say, you made a sound. No, I wouldn't. Only to Sandy, I think. No, but we are so looking forward to today. So you are always welcome here. We've got heaters and stuff because it's a little bit cold.
Yeah.
We said this last week.
You've dressed warmer this time than Josh.
Yeah, last week, I don't know if you could tell on camera, but I was shaking. So I've put two layers this time. So I'm ready to go. I'm warm and I'm ready to go.
Well, and I appreciate that we've got some confirmation.
Ah, Joe Rose.
So that we know that...
Joe and Sheba, thank you for commenting. We love that. Welcome, Joe. Welcome, Sheba.
Yeah. Anyone know Sheba's her lion? Or a little mini lion.
It might look like a cat, but
yeah,
it's...
The cats dream of being lions when they're asleep.
Maybe they already think.
Do dogs dream that they're wolves, you know?
I don't know about that.
Hallelujah. Well, we appreciate that you've joined us, and we are following through on a series the Lord put on our hearts called Mirror, Mirror, based on the book of James, when he said, if you look intently into the word of God, and he said, you do what it says. He said, you're not going to be like a man who looks into a mirror and sees his image and then goes away and forgets what he is. And it sort of gave the example that the word of God is like a mirror, that we should look into it, but the worst thing we can do is look into it and then go away from there and just forget all about what it says.
Yeah. Just think about it. I just had this thought. Think about it just in the natural. If you get, you get ready to go out, whatever, start morning, whatever it might be. You look in the mirror, you get yourself ready, and then throughout the rest of the day, just in the natural, you think about it, but you know what you look like.
Yeah.
Because you've prepared or
you've seen,
And it's the same thing, but why do sometimes we not do that?
Yeah.
We look in the word, you could say we prepare, and then we go out.
Yeah.
It's like, what do I look like? What am I? You know what I mean?
And it is what it's...
It's interesting, actually.
You look at things and you think it should be so reasonable and logical that you say, oh, I see what God says. I see in the word of God, I get a revelation. And it should just be finalized.
Yeah,
that's it.
That's it.
That's it. Finished. And you go on and you
got
just...
Got that sorted.
Got that sorted.
I don't have to think about this again.
I don't have to... I've crossed that line. And yet there are things that you think, well, even though I know it, that I'm faced with a challenge, I forget it.
Yeah.
And you look at the Israelites, which were given an example to us of crossing over into their promised land, for us to cross over into our promises and provisions.
Mm.
And it says, that God would do great and mighty things, do wonderful things. He'd deliver them from Egypt. They went through the Red Sea when they looked like they were up against a dead end, and suddenly God opened a way. They walked through, they turned around, they saw the mighty arms of Egypt crushed by the waters closing on them. And then a few days later, they've got no water, and they go, we're all dying. Why did you bring us out here to die?
I feel like that'd be a pretty hard, well, me personally, but that'd be a pretty hard thing to forget. But then I've probably done it before.
Well, that's the thing. Like we look back at them and say, what idiots, you know, what jerks they are. You know, how could you see God work so mightily and then face this current situation and just, it all just evaporates. But it is a challenge to us. Yeah. And yeah, I agree with Christine there. Josh, you got a shout out. Good illustration.
Thank you.
Great illustration.
Thank you.
But it's one of the challenges we have is that just like the Israelites, you can see God work, but it doesn't automatically transfer to something that you're going to do now. You've still got to make the same choices. Or you can believe God for something, see it manifest. It doesn't mean you automatically just lean into that. You can make wrong choices. You can have like people like Peter who walked with Jesus and yet under pressure denied that he even knew him.
Yeah.
How can you do that? You say, well, that's the problems of pressure and the things that are coming against us. We've got to learn how to not just get a victory, but repeat that victory and stay, you know, sound in it. And it's the mirror. You look in the mirror. It's the challenge. The challenge is that you look here and then you go to life.
Mm.
All right. And I think that's what James was getting at. He says you look, and then you take another look here. You've got to remember.
Yeah.
All right. Now you've got to superimpose what you've seen into your current situation and say, okay, this is what it's like here.
Yeah.
I'm not looking at the mirror anymore. Now I'm looking at life, but I've got to look at life through the lens of what I've seen.
That's good.
And but that's the problem. You're looking at life, and life can be so overwhelming that can be what comes upon you. That's what takes over your thinking. You're saying, I think this, but suddenly this becomes the reality.
Yeah.
And then all, you know, we battle all sorts of things like experience. You know, this is what I've experienced in the past. This is what other people have experienced. This is what everyone else has gone through. We go through all these battles and, you know, the natural world, you know, this is not what happens. This is not what you normally see. We also go through challenges when we do things that we know that God has done in the past, but we might hit an obstacle or a roadblock and it doesn't happen the same way. And then we get confused and we say, well, maybe God's not working, or where is God when I need him? You think of the illustration that Jesus gave in terms of prayer and how prayer works. In fact, why don't we just look at that book of Luke?
Because we're in academy.
We're not going to just sort of just launch... and talk about things without actually turning to the scriptures and feeding on them, because we want to. This is I think one of the real challenges we face when you're doing something you've done in the past, and you're not getting the same results, and you sort of think, well, that's
true.
That's not what I would normally expect. That's not what I've experienced, and. It's Luke chapter 11. It's where Jesus is teaching on prayer. So let's call it up.
We've just had Sandy join us. Welcome, Sandy. As I said, I won't always call everyone out, but I'll always call Sandy out.
Yeah.
Sandy gets name dropped, and you can get name dropped if you want. No, we'd love to have you, Sandy.
So this is the teaching. Well, you know, you're having a chat with Sandy. It gave me time just to get my scriptures up. So the Lord's Prayer, when Jesus was praying, he said, this is how you pray. Father, may your name be honored. Kingdom come.
Yeah.
Give us each day our daily bread. Then he says this. Suppose one of you has a friend. And I always like that. It's like...
It's easier for some of us.
Is that a little bit of a... Hey, just imagine you had a friend. What would it be like to have a friend? Just stop and think about that. Oh, it'd be nice to have a friend. Imagine you've got a friend and you go to this friend at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. Because a friend of mine, I got another friend, has stopped here while on a journey and I have nothing to set before him. Then he will reply from inside, do not bother me. The door is already shut and my children are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. Now, culturally, this is like, oh yeah, I can understand it. Get lost, you know, I'm already in bed. But culturally, this is just this is exactly the opposite of what should happen. You know, it talks about he's been careful to say friend. Okay, this is even showing a stranger kindness and being welcoming to a stranger is important in their culture. But to bring a friend comes, you would never turn a friend away. Mm. This is the thing that they're saying. They'd never turn a friend away.
A friend doesn't come at a bad time.
No.
Can't come at a bad time.
I think that's a great point. I love that. A friend can't come at a bad time. It's always going to be God says, you know, you just open your door. So whether it's at midnight, what's he traveling at midnight? It's danger. There's robbers out there. There's animals out there. And he say, well, just go to the local motel. There is no local motel. All right. You come and you seek out a friend. And your friend came and he said, now I've got nothing to give to him to eat. And I wasn't prepared for this. Yeah. And you go to your other friend. And he would, normally it'd be like 100%. I'll just, I'll, you know, whatever I've got is yours. You know, come on, here's, you know, you must feed. But he gets the response, hey, I've gone to bed. The kids are asleep. Leave us alone. Now to Jesus listeners, they're like, what?
That's this, crazy.
This crazy talk. This is the weirdest thing ever. This is the strangest thing ever. It's meant to shock you.
Yeah.
And it's the sense of you go to do something and this is what normally happens and suddenly it doesn't happen. You're like, what? That's not how it's meant to happen. And now we experience that through natural life and things that we do things and when it doesn't happen, we might not get, you know, we just go, oh, I wasn't expecting that. Like, okay, you walk into a room, you reach around and you hit a light switch. You don't say, I wonder. You don't say, I wonder what's going to happen. No, you just turn around, you hit the switch. Every now and again, it won't go on.
Yeah.
And then you've got to, I didn't expect that. You know, replace the light bulb, power's gone out, whatever. But the normal thing is you walk in, hit the switch, light comes on.
You don't think about it.
You just do it. Exactly.
You're
just totally relying on that, even though you know that it might not happen every time, but this will happen. You go, every time you sit on a seat, you do not check the seat to see how strong it is and whether it
looks sturdy enough. I think I'm going to sit.
You give it a bit of a test. No, you just go and sit on a seat because you just have experience with that seat. You know those seats are strong. And you sit down on it. There's a whole lot of things in life. You just do them. One, two, three. This. And Jesus is trying to give them an example of something. This is just normal behavior.
Yeah.
But suddenly you go, one, two, bang. If you're online, why don't you think of a one, two, three? You know, I go to the shop. I give them some money. They give me the goods. That's how it happens. Do you know what I mean? I go to a shop. I hand them some money. They give me a loaf of bread. All right? And that's one, two, three. But imagine if you go to the shop, you give them some money and they won't give you the bread. You're like, what?
Or if you've got an automatic car, you handbrake down, put it in drive and it doesn't go forward. What?
Yeah, you just, one, two.
That's meant to roll.
Yep, you're always meant to. One, two, three. But what happens if the three doesn't happen? It's just, and Jesus is picking an example of it's just going to happen. This will happen.
Yeah.
Because this is not even relying on technology. This is relying on someone being true to their form and true to their character and their nature. Your friend will do this. You know, the friend didn't say, "Oh, I haven't got any bread." He said, "No, you're not getting any because it's inconvenient." Like that's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's just, so you got to think of a one, two, three where the three doesn't happen. And that's what Jesus is giving an illustration of. He says, what happens when you go one, two, three, and the three is faulty?
Or then three your world is shaking, rocked at that
moment. Yeah, whoa.
Hold up.
What happens here? And so Jesus gave this as an example of prayer for us, a teaching on prayer, that sometimes the one, two, three, the three doesn't happen. What to do in that situation.
Yeah,
all right.
Good.
And I appreciate that. Jesus says, you know, hey, what to do when the number three doesn't happen as it should happen and as you've experienced in the past and is quite normal. I have a need. I pray and ask God and he gives me the answer. One, two, three. I have a battle that I'm facing. I go and seek God and God provides the victory. One, two, three. It's just, that's how it is. And we have experience of it and we have testimonies of it and we have life testimonies of what God's done for us and we can come up with those and say, one, two, three. I had this situation. I went to God and he made a provision. He helped me here. He guided me here. He gave me wisdom. He gave me finances. He opened the door. He gave me a job. He healed my body. You know, and he did it. 1, 2, 3. And we're meant to think like that. And we're meant to expect that. And we're meant, and he says, what happens if you do 1, 2, and 3 doesn't work? What happens 1, 2, 3? And he's saying in context of prayer. Now, to some people, it's like, okay, that means immediately their only thought is God doesn't want me to have it.
Mm.
All right. 1, 2, 3 means I'm not meant to get 3. So if I, so I always just go 1, 2, and then I leave 3 up to God. All right. And
see, if
God,
what happens.
See what happens. 1, 2, and just see what God does. And if God doesn't give it to me, well, he never wanted me to have it in the first place. So 1, 2, my body's still sick. Therefore, God wanted me to be sick. 1, 2, 3, God wanted me to be poor. 1, 2, 3, God wanted me to be sad. 1, 2, 3, God wanted me to be depressed. 1, 2, 3, God wanted me not to get that job. 1, 2, 3, because it just, we're just letting what God said be dictated by what is happening. And he's saying, in this situation, I'm going to tell you 1, 2, 3 with 3 is broken. And we're like, ah, he doesn't say, well, see, that's a sign to you that you've asked too much.
You've reached the limit, the threshold there.
Yeah. What are you doing asking God for bread? What are you doing? So, but what he's done here is he's actually said, this is a situation where no one argues about.
Yeah.
This is not even a situation like, you know, I asked for something and maybe I shouldn't have asked for it. Do you know what I mean? We do sometimes
feel bad for asking.
You know, sometimes you got to look at that fine print. There is an asterisk. You know, God answers prayer. Asterisk. There is asterisks, and we do this all the time. We, you know, you're very welcome, God. You know, and if I would say, hey, does God answer prayer? Yes. If I pray, will God answer? Yes. There's a little bit of a but in there. You know, one of the buts is anything we ask according to his will.
Mm-hmm.
All right? That's from 1 John. John 5:14. Let's just go there because we're at Academy and we're hungry. We're hungry to see it with our own eyes and we are hungry to say, yep, that's what it says because I can see it. And this is the confidence we have before him that whenever we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. All right. So just that little, you could say, and this is the confidence we have that whenever we ask anything, he hears us. That's how we often phrase it.
Yeah.
You know, if you call out to God, he will hear you. Have you ever heard that phrase? You know, or someone say something similar. Call out to God, ask God, pray, he will hear you. Yes, we say that. But all we've done is that's the little clarification. You don't always need that because it goes without saying, but sometimes it needs to be said. Because some people can be dumb, all right? You know, they're asking for stuff that God said, there's no way I'm giving you that. That's not what I want. You know, that's something to, you know, like that, like, you know, I've heard preachers say this, anyone who's believing for a partner, hang on a sec, if you're believing for someone else's partner, put your hand down.
Awkward.
Yeah, but that's because they've said they've been burnt. You know, so I'm praying. You know, so, praying. God's showing me the man that I'm to marry. Oh, great. Well, you know, you're believing. Oh, yeah. Well, I've just got to pray that he gets divorced first. And I'm like, what? Yeah. Well, the wife he's got's no good for him. No. You just stop that prayer right now. You know, we ain't going down that path. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know. So there's some things we pray that are just not in line with God's will and broadly in his word or narrowly in his revealed will to us. So Jesus was careful in Luke 11 to say that this was an example where no one had any confusion about whether it was right or not.
Mm.
They all knew this is right. Okay? So we're not even talking about 1, 2, and 3 is broken because we're doing something dumb. You know, God's not going to give it to us because he doesn't want to give that to us. And if we keep pressing, it's like, why would you want that? That's not for you. That's not, don't press that down. Don't push that door down. It's not good for you. Do you know what I mean? You don't want this. There's a reason I've said no to that. And there's a reason that you shouldn't pursue that. And it's not the will of God. So we're not talking about that. All right. So we straight away, the 1, 2, 3, because sometimes we say, because you haven't asked according to the will of God. You know, the book of James. Let's see, I think it's chapter 3. Dangerous just to jump straight there sometimes, isn't it? Let's see. Oh, what's this? I need to look it up in my... Find it in the real Bible. Chapter 4 is As I'm turning there, I go, you know what? This is chapter four. Where do the conflicts and where do the quarrels among you come from? Is it not this, your passions that battle inside you? You're having a lot of issues. He said, you desire and you do not have. You murder and envy and you cannot obtain. You quarrel and fight. He says, you're doing it all the wrong way. But he says, you do not have because you don't ask. Mm. Sometimes it's just simply because you haven't put one and two in. Well, I've got no three. Well, you didn't do one and two. I've got no bread. You didn't go down to the shop and give the money. You know.
I just had a thought, it would be nice if I had bread.
Yeah. My car's not driving forward. Well, you haven't even gotten the car and put it in gear.
Yeah.
All right. So it's like, it's just sometimes people are, oh, where's God when I need him? Well, you haven't even done one and two. You're complaining about three. You haven't even got to one and two.
Make sure you've done one and two.
You know. Give us, you know, Jesus actually taught them pray in the, you know, what we call the Lord's Prayer, but the prayer he gave for the disciples. Give us this day our daily bread. Mm-hmm. It's requesting and asking for things that are just shouldn't need asking for, but he requires us to ask. You know, when the blind Bartimaeus was crying out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me, and he brings him forward and he's blind, he's crying out, and he comes out, Jesus, what do you want me to do for you? And it's like, why are you making him ask? You know, that's not even, it's a bit weird. It's a bit strange. You know, we all know, but he's making, what do you want? What do you want me to do for you?
Yeah.
And there is a principle. We need to do the one and two. We need to unlock and we need to ask. And God is expecting and looking at, you know, he's hungry, but he's looking for those that by their faith are unlocking that. It says in 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord are running to and fro throughout all the earth, searching, looking for those whose heart is wholeheartedly his, that he can show himself strong in their behalf. He's looking to show himself strong, but he needs us to do something to unlock that. So, you know, one, two, three. Some people say, oh, it's not working because it's number three. I asked a dumb thing. All right, well, that's fair enough. Well, we're not talking about some people, it's because it's not one and two. They didn't ask.
Yeah.
They didn't do anything. So this is what it says in verse two. You do not have because you do not ask.
Mm.
All right, there's a revelation for someone. You haven't got it because you actually haven't asked. Really? Yeah, there's some people, they just skip that step. They just expect God just to do stuff without actually taking time to release faith and believe God and get into the flow of what God wants and the way he's doing that. All right, so number three, you ask. So, oh, okay, well, I have asked, one and two, but you do not receive because you ask wrongly, so you can spend it on your own passions.
Yeah.
All right, so you... Yeah, okay, number three can be faulty.
That's important.
All right? So, yeah, I get that. You can be faulty at number one and two. You're just not asking. You're just not putting it into practice. Number three, you can ask for the wrong thing and not according to his will, and that messes everything up. Just don't do that. All right? Do you want my advice? Don't ask for the things that are not according to the will of God. Don't go outside of those boundaries. Don't ask according to your own lusts and pleasures. I'm not saying don't ask for things that you want. There's no problem with that.
I always thought of a real simple example to these sorts of things. Let's say, for example, you want a chocolate ice cream.
Yeah.
And you ask God, I really want a chocolate ice cream. And if God giving you a chocolate ice cream is going to be like a remembrance thing for you, or through that you give glory to God because he gave me a chocolate ice cream.
Yeah.
He's going to give you a chocolate ice cream.
Yeah.
He's going to give him glory. So that's a real sort of simple thing.
Yeah.
But an example of that under the right conditions. Yeah. So if you're asking for something, this is not going to bring God glory.
Yeah.
We're going to have a problem, one, two, and three.
Exactly. The example from Luke chapter 11, Jesus was, he was careful to remove the problems from... being one and two or three. And number three, it was like, you're asking the wrong thing. Now he picked an example where this is really right. Everyone listening knows it's right. So it's an example where we all know it's right. So we can scratch that. It's not because he's asking the wrong thing.
Mm.
And now I can't always say that in your situation, you need to sort that out. But I lean into the fact, you know, God's a good God, loves us, freely gives us all things to enjoy. You know, I'm quoting a scripture there. So it's a blessing that he wants to do. So so he's removed that. And he's removed the number one and two that they haven't asked. Yeah, he's gone. He's knocked on the door. He's saying, friend, I need bread. So he's got them sorted. They're all right, but it doesn't work. So this is not the normal ones you say, oh, you didn't get because you didn't ask, or you didn't get because you asked the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're the only answers you've got for people or yourself. If something doesn't work, oh, it's not because God didn't want, I was asking for the wrong thing.
Mm.
Or, and what some people put in, God doesn't want me to have it, so he won't give it to me. Well, you really should sort that out before you pray. Do you know what I mean? Don't pray and sort of say, you know, God, do you want to heal me? Please heal me. And if you know, I'm not sure if you want to heal me, but if you do want to heal me, I'd appreciate it.
If that's what you already believe, then why pray
for yeah, it? And and there's sometimes people pray that God, I'm just praying that whatever you said is going to happen is going to happen. And there's like, it's like, well, hang on a second. Your prayer has really become, you do it because you know you should pray, but there's no reason to pray because it's going to happen anyway. Mm-hmm. God's will be done whether we pray for it or not. So, you know, we're just praying because he told us to pray.
You're just putting your prayer out there and see what happens.
Yeah, but and it's know. Like, we know God's will be done, and my prayer is really irrelevant to that. So that there's no faith in that. You know, faith begins where the will of God is known. It's a classic statement, you know, by the... I've heard it from, you know, Keith Moore has shared on that. Pastor George Pearson's and Kenneth Copeland. I think even I've heard Kenneth Hagin. I'm trying to think. But I think you know it goes right back to some of you know Kenyon and other people who taught on these things. And I'm not sure where they might not have been original with them, but it's a great truth.
Mm.
Faith begins where the will of God is known. In other words, once you know the will of God, your faith can be released. Yeah. Otherwise, you're asking with a tentative. So this person is asking with faith because they knew this is the right thing to happen. It is absolutely right that I will go back. What's the book said here? If I don't have confidence that it's God's will, then I'll take a setback or closed door as the answer instead of something to pray through. Mm. 100%. That's exactly what we're getting to, Brooke. If you don't know that, then when you don't get three, then you take it as, well, God doesn't want me to have bread. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Okay, I didn't get bread. I come back. That's...
We're just reading a comment here.
Yeah, so we love to read your comments come through. We're
both at the same time.
I have to lean in a little bit to see them. Let's see the comment. So we 1, 2, 3 in this situation. Remove the. It's not 1 or 2, and it's not 3.
Mm.
It just didn't happen.
Mm.
And they're meant to go. All right, so everybody. It didn't happen. It didn't happen as it should. And these are sort of 1, 2, and 3. This is what Pastor told me. He said, you know, make sure it's the will of God. I know it's the will of God.
Yeah.
I've got a rhema from God. I know this is what God wants for me. And 1 and 2, I have asked, and I have asked in faith, and I have put my faith. 1, 2, 3, bang, it doesn't happen. So Jesus gives an illustration. This is what I'm leaning to. He gives an illustration where 1, 2, 3 doesn't work as it should, as you expect, and then he says, this is what to do in that situation. I love that. He doesn't... without these sorts of teachings, I would just feel that every time 1, 2, 3 didn't work, I'm doing something wrong, or I'm to blame, or it's just me. I've got sin in my life, or sin. And I understand, you know, we understand that type of thing. You know, that when they had the battle of Ai and Joshua, and there was sin in the camp, and things didn't go well, and they had to cleanse the sin out of the camp. You know, and Book of Revelation talks of the churches that says, hey, you've got to get this. The Balaam mentality out. Balaam's mentality was that it's wickedness and things inside will damage the church. All right, it takes the blessings away. So I understand that. If I didn't have this teaching, every time I did a 1, 2, 3 and went, oh, it didn't work, I'd say, well, it's the will of God. I'm praying. It must be me.
Mm.
I must be at fault. I must be wicked. I must be have sin. I must. And we've got to cleanse those things out. Yeah, you got to make sure those things aren't part of. You know, you look at Matthew chapter 6.
We'll be back.
Because this is Matthew's looking at the Lord's Prayer, what we call the Lord. Whenever you prayed, do this. And so pray in this way. Our Father in heaven, may your name be honored. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debtors, our debts as we ourselves have forgiven our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And we say, okay, That's the end of the teaching on prayer. But then he goes, for if you forgive others their sins, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Hey, we've gone one verse too far. Back up, Pastor. Yeah.
We don't want to talk about that one.
Wait. Hang on a second. We've had all this teaching on prayer, you know, about whenever you pray, don't be like the hypocrite. Okay, whenever you pray, don't go into your inner room. When you pray like this. Don't be repeating. Pray like this. Your Father knows. Look at this. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So now, because he knows what you need, pray, give us today our daily bread. If he knows what our need, he's saying he knows what you need, but you need to pray, and it's all working forward. And then, for if you forgive others their sins, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. There's a sense, well, he's just moved on to another topic. But has he moved on to another topic, or is this sort of an overflow from prayer?
An important key, perhaps.
Yeah, maybe this is, you know, he's teaching on different things. Has he just straight away just, that's prayer, now I'm talking about forgiveness. For if you forgive others their sins, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, your Father will not forgive you your sins. That's an important aspect of this, that you've got to make sure that there's certain things that you're dealing right with.
You got to cover your bases.
Well, yeah, it's and unforgiveness is one that will eat at your confidence, and it'll also eat at your ability to press in for all God's got. It's one of those things that's the white ant of something that'll just hurt you. And it gives the enemy handles into your life to use. You know, unforgiveness is one way he gets access into our lives because it's such a powerful thing.
Because it's also like, just in that example, it's something that you always go back to and think about, and dwell on, you know, meditate on that. So you can't have those things, you know, festering.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you think, oh, I don't have unforgiveness, but boy, you know, I'll never talk to so-and-so again, because, you know, like, oh, hang on a sec, because I get a feeling. Now, some people confuse how forgiveness works. They sort of, you know, forgiveness is just if I forgive you, everything goes back to as it was in terms of relationship and in terms of trust. No, trust is something which is earned. Forgiveness is freely given, but trust, and when I meet someone, I give them the advantage of trust. So, you know, some people say trust is earned. Well, what happens is when I meet someone new, I work on the principle I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yep.
You know, now, I'm not going to trust them with everything. I'm not going to trust them with my precious memories or my precious thoughts. I'm not going to trust them with access to things, because that must be built. But as a general rule, I'm not, what's the word, you know, cynical and sort of holding them arm's length until I get to know you. I'm not going to trust you. That's not a great way to live. It means that you sort of consciously, what you're doing often is blaming them for other people's disloyalty or other people's hurts they're giving you. You treat everybody as if they're a potential, you know, the person who's hurt you. You know, you've got someone who's hurt you in the past. Now you're just cautious with everyone. And really what you're doing is imposing on them the other person's,
they're just going to hurt me as well.
Yeah, so I'm just going to be cautious and I've got to wait to see. That's not a great way to live, because it really means that the hurts from the past are framing your attitude.
Yep.
All right? Just imagine this. If everybody you dealt with in the past had been really good and kind to you, then you would be more open and free. So I'm saying that if you're just cautious against everybody, it can be because of the past hurts. And you say, well, I have been hurt. Yeah, I'm not asking you to deny that. I'm just saying that don't take that hurt and then make that a lifestyle moving forward. You've got to work through that, but that doesn't mean you've got to open up everything and be just totally open. You know, Josh and I have a great relationship, and I trust Josh because, not just because I give him that privilege, but because he has proven that privilege. All right, he's not only I've given him the privilege of trust, but then he has worked it out, so now I can lean in on him, and I have confidence in Josh. I know him. I trust him with things. You know what I mean? I would share things with Josh. I would let Josh know, some of the things I'm really praying for, the challenges I'm facing, anything like that, because I trust Josh, and I lean on him and rely on him. So some people get that confused with forgiveness. If I forgive you, I must totally lean on you. There's it's like the person, you know, they've been diddling the books, you know, taking money. You say, oh, I forgive you. But you're not doing the books anymore.
You don't give them the same job.
Yeah, you're not touching our accounts. Oh, you know, really appreciate you. Until, you know, now it's saying, oh, was that forever? You know, because, and this is one of the big questions, you know, when you've had something, when you've, you know, had something happen, are you forever locked into that? Do you know what I mean? What does forgiveness do? You know,
locked on.
I praise God.
With Paul.
Yeah, that if you took that approach, there wouldn't be many people in the Bible still ministering and working, because their past was their past, and they were forgiven, and they were cleansed, and they did become new creatures, and they did work that out. But you've got to give people time to prove that and show that, in terms of leadership.
Yeah.
You know, that's why Paul said, you know, when you're raising someone up to leadership, don't make sure they're not too new, because you've got to give them time to prove, to show that out. And so if someone falls, then you give them time to work that out. I'm a big believer in restoration. I'm a big believer in people being given fresh and new responsibilities. But it's got to be, there's a process there. It's not just, the forgiveness is immediate.
Yeah.
But the restoration is sometimes, but depending on level of it too, you know what I mean? Like, you know, you took two ice creams out of the fridge when you should have only taken one, right? Okay, that's it, you're out. You know? not going to trust you with anything. But, you know, it depends on the level and what you're facing.
Yeah.
All those things. There's balances there. But forgiveness, unforgiveness, can be one of the things eating in here. So we do a 1, 2, 3.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the 1, 2, 3, bang. What's? But I'm harboring unforgiveness.
Yeah.
I'm resenting things. Vengeance is mine, saith Peter. And one of the challenges for me, unforgiveness often comes from the fact that I really don't trust that God will sort this out.
Mm.
And I'm wanting something more immediate.
Yeah.
I'm wanting something more. I want them either to, well, I don't want them to be hurt, but I really want them to apologize. You know, I want them to know how much they've hurt me, and I want them to know how disappointed I am. So I'm holding off my forgiveness until they've come and shown some contriteness and sorrow. So you know, it's a dangerous thing. So and it can be small, but you just got to be sensitive. Okay, this is all I'm saying is, seek to live a life where you are just releasing and not holding on to things. What do you do? Just as a side note, you know, what's the difference between forgiveness and when someone needs some action taken for restoration or for some punishment, things like that. The Bible says that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. All right, that's a really key verse. Not me, it's not for me, it's not for you, but it is for the Lord. And you say, well, that means in heaven. Yeah, ultimately God will take care of things and settle things in heaven. Mm. All right, he will. Our court system is really requires on the fact that God is the ultimate judge. Because our court system works on a principle of innocent until proven guilty. All right, it's just the way our courts work. I like that because innocent until proven guilty means that some guilty people are not charged or don't go to prison. But because there's not enough proof to be 100% sure, so there are guilty people out there who have done bad things but are not in prison.
Mm.
Because we don't have enough evidence to get that proof. The danger of not that is the opposite is, you've got to prove your innocence.
And then a lot of innocent
people. Yeah, so innocent people could end up being punished because we don't have enough evidence, but we just know you're guilty. And so you've got to come up with a proof of innocence. I do not like the laws that have come in place that says you must prove your innocence. I don't think it's healthy. And you say, but you're saying that guilty people will not go to prison. Yeah, what I'm saying is guilty people might not go to prison, but they do have to deal with God.
Mm. Yeah.
All right? I have total confidence. They might be able to circumnavigate our legal system.
There's an end of a line.
Yeah, but God knows. All right? You can never get past God. You know, you can't pull a Swiftie on God. I was talking just recently to one family many years ago. There's a very rich businessman. he was involved in sports and things, so I knew through that. And he was taken to court because he was doing bad financial dealings. You know, you don't need to know the details. He was just financially, he was not doing the right thing. And but then he challenged it because they got some of the evidence. Some of the evidence they got access to, they didn't do it in a 100% legal way. They were given some evidence that they should have processed one way and they didn't process it. So the evidence came through not 100% legally, and therefore he challenged them and said that all that evidence can't be used.
Yeah.
So because they had a little bit of evidence that was not got right, he got the whole thing overturned, and in the end that he never got charged. Now he said, see, I'm innocent. Well, no, all it means, you're not innocent. It just means that the we couldn't do the evidence. They didn't sit down and look at all the evidence and say, you're actually innocent. They looked down and said, we're not allowed to look at the evidence, so we can't charge you.
Yeah.
All right, so you're not, we can't charge you. So he would be free, and he could say, you know, look, the courts have said I'm free. So, and yeah, so I'm not allowed to go out and say you're a guilty man, because I don't know, there's not the evidence. But I can know that doesn't make you innocent. Just because the courts can't charge you does not mean we're innocent. But the best thing is, I do know that God knows. God, ultimately, God knows. And I've got to trust that.
Yeah.
And I've got to rely upon that.
Yeah,
and I've got to say, you know what? Hey, God, you take care of these things. It's not for me to become the champion of anyone who hurts me or upsets me, that I've got to make sure they get punished.
That's good.
Now, what God does, though, is on the earth, he commissions people. Because so who does the vengeance? Whose vengeance is God's? Now, people say, well, that's in heaven. Not just in heaven. This is the thing. Ultimately in heaven. That's like I said, you can mess with the courts, but ultimately in heaven, he will sort you. He knows. In the spiritual realm, he gets you. Do you know what I mean? You might be able to fool everybody, but you can't fool God. You know, what's it say in Galatians chapter 6? Look here, so you can look with me. Galatians 6 verse 7. Do not be deceived. God will not be made a fool. A person will reap what he sows.
Yep.
You cannot mock God. You say, oh, I can trick everyone in the church, but God knows. All right, you can fool those around you. You can fool your neighbor, but God knows. So that's ultimately, that's the best thing, is I know that God knows. All right, now, so God said in heaven, well, this is actually what you reap here on earth as well. He will take care of it spiritually. You might say, you know, I've tricked everybody, but God says, yeah, but you haven't tricked me. The other thing is that God also is the one who implements this on earth through governing bodies, through the people on the earth. He actually imposes this. This might be a little bit different to what people understand, so let me just go there. Romans 13. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except by God's appointment, and the authorities that exist have been instituted by God. So the person who resists such an authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers cause no fear for good conduct, but for bad. Do you desire not to fear authority? Do good, and you will receive its commendation. I thank God every time I drive up to a test for drug and alcohol, my heart doesn't go cold.
Yeah.
And I go, oh no. You know, I don't know what you've got overseas, and I don't know what it's like, but we have booze buses and booze and drug buses.
I get excited because I know it's like, oh, I get to do the breath test again. Yeah. This is exciting, you know. This is
exciting, yay. And did I tell you the story? I can't remember where I told the story online the other day. So Jordan, hey, shout out to Jay. He's doing a lot better. He is in a moon boot out of a cast. Praise God. We saw the surgeon during the week, this week. 2 days earlier than they said. They said it'd be 14 days, but in 12 days, he was there. And wound is healing up really well. Everything's really neat and good, going great guns, but they put him in a moon boot for 5 weeks. No pressure. So I think he's trusting to be here maybe next week. But shout out to Jay, doing well. Praise God, and we're believing for accelerated healing. So Jay is driving. We're doing a learner's thing where, and we go to we pull up and they pull you over because they're going to get you to blow into a thing, and they're going to test you for now drugs and alcohol. All right. Now I'm oblivious to this, and I said, "Oh, this is Jay gets to you know, do this. He's always dreamed of this." Yay! But what I'm saying is, our hearts are not. What are they going to find? Because we don't have that fear. We don't fear these people. I don't fear the police because we've got nothing to hide.
Right.
So we pull up. But we pull up, and I'm in the car that Jay's got. And one of the problems is that the window on the passenger side hasn't been working properly. And so if you press the button, it doesn't come down. And I was, that's all right. You know, long... So I'm sitting there, and Jay, you're going to get to go. And Jay's looking at me a little strange. And I look over, and there's a policeman next to me. So there's a policeman next to him, and he's putting the window. And I'm like, well, I don't normally. But I forgot, as a learner driver, the learner and the instructor both get tested.
Yep.
All right. So they one each. One each.
How exciting.
How exciting. So I'm a little bit behind. So they've been waiting because I'm not even I'm looking at Jay. I'm not even looking here. And I turn up. There's someone like,
why are you here?
You know, tell me, and then I get a bit flustered. I don't know. Doing a police
thing. Something is wrong.
And I go to put the window down. And I'm like, I can't do this window. And I'm like, I don't want them to know the window won't. And then I get the locks because it's a car I'm not familiar with. I'm unlocking the window. They're looking at me like, what? I'm about to give you a drug test. I'm definitely giving it to you.
We're gonna make sure about this one.
Yeah, this guy, you know. And so eventually, I'm saying, oh, this problem. So I open the door or something, like, you know, I'm sorry. So now I've opened the door.
Have the door on this side.
They're looking strange at me, and then you know, hand this to me and blow this. And I'm blowing. Oh, I'm so. And they go, you haven't blown it long enough. I'm getting this.
One time, like similar, quick story. Since you said the story, I got pulled over for that, and I just had a cherry ripe, and I had a thought. I think cherry ripes a long time ago may have used to have some sort of alcoholic content. I'm like, I've had a cherry ripe. Like, they're gonna. I just had a cherry ripe. It's like, that was a long time ago. You don't have to worry about that. But in that moment, it's like, no, it's fine. It's fine. Yeah. It's all good.
Yeah. Yeah, what's it? Ossifer? Good morning, Ossifer!
Well, seems to be the
Ossifer. Well, it must be Ossifer's problem.
Anyway.
So I was I panicked, made it worse, eventually like blow until I say stop. I'm sorry. And then I haven't taken a really good deep breath. I'm blowing, I'm running out of breath. I've got no more breath. They're still looking at me like, I'm not letting go of this thing until you have to give me. Oh, and then they're like, you know, sometimes I'm like, you are fine, you know.
Not sure why you're doing but you're fine.
Yeah, and you know, Jay's thinking there's a hoot on the other side, and trying, you know, and he's chatting with the, you know, yeah, Jay, just chat. So
yeah,
he's having a good time. The officers.
Before you go down, Jay.
Sometimes the officer's not in a chatty mood. There, okay, all the best. Drive off. Yeah, shut my door. Jay, just go. No eye contact. Let's just get out of here. But you don't have to fear.
Yeah.
When you're doing the right thing, there's a song. By a singer called Honey Tree. Can't think of her first name. Christine, you'll know this singer, Honey Tree. She was a singer in the Jesus Revolution time.
Mm.
You know about that movie when Jesus? She was one of the singers, and her German name meant Honey Tree, so she used that, the English version, as her stage name. And she had a song, and about, you know, when a policeman comes up. And he says, you're looking too happy. It must be drugs. So he searches, and, you know, and then you go, to the, you know. So it's just about a teenager who's, everyone thinks he's on drugs because he's so happy.
Yeah.
But she said she wrote that song because a policeman was coming towards her when she was born again. And she got nervous. She goes, you know what? That was because in my hippie days, if any time a policeman approached me, I'd be nervous because I'd have drugs on me.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, and she said, a policeman's coming, and I I got nervous.
Got worried.
And then she goes, I got nothing to be worried about. I don't have any drugs on me. I don't carry drugs. I don't do drugs. But it was the policeman walking towards her made her feel nervous.
Yeah.
So she wrote this song, yeah, Rattle Me and Shake Me. It's a really fun song, and David Meese does it even better in his live concert. But this thought was, policemen come. Now, what they're saying is, this is a normal thing. God's vengeance. Vengeance is whose?
God's.
God's. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. One of the ways he brings that retribution and that judgment to people is through natural organizations and authorities that he has commissioned to do his will. And people who don't do the right thing should be fearful of them. Mm. I want them to be fearful of them. Mm. I want them to be scared that God is going to implement that now. Because it is God's servant for your well-being. Be afraid if you do wrong, because government does not bear the sword for nothing. It is God's servant who administers punishment on the person who does wrong.
Mm.
I appreciate that I do not grab the sword and go, vengeance is mine, says Peter. God does. But you know what? God has people who do carry swords.
Mm.
Nowadays, they probably don't carry swords. They're more likely to carry a gun. But it's exactly the same principle that they carry a gun because they impose on people the righteous judgment of God, even if they don't want to. So that way we don't have people running red lights, and we don't have people doing terrible things in our society, and I can be comfortable. But I do not have to run around trying to, you know, do that.
Yeah.
The government handles that.
Yeah.
And the person who implements that is not doing it because they personally are offended. All right? I want retribution because I'm offended. I want retribution because I'm hurt.
Mm.
I want retribution because I've been damaged, and I want you to feel my damage, and I want you to feel my hurt, and I want you to acknowledge that. This is not how that works. This is God. The policeman doesn't say, you ran a red light. I put these red lights up and you just drive right through. Get out of here, you terrible person for driving through. He says, I'll write you a ticket. There was a fine.
This is for you.
This is for you. If you do this too often, you won't be allowed to drive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's it. He's not personally invested in it. He's a vehicle. He's actually doing God's work.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been a long run up to say this. I forgive people, but there are certain situations where I need to hand those people over to God's judgment.
Mm.
And sometimes that is, God, I just hand it over to you here and to the eternity. You know what I mean? You know, I'm not, the policemen do not want to get a phone call from me and say, oh, my neighbor dumped his leaves on my side of the fence. And I want you to come and take him to jail. No, I just got to forgive him for being a jerk. Do you know what I mean? And I'm going to say, God, you know, I'm sorry. It's upset me, but I'm going to hand that over to you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't go to the police with every one of my offenses. But there are some things that happen that are against the rules and laws of the land, which I then do put into the hands of the police. That is not unforgiveness. I forgive them in my heart, and I say, God, I don't want them to carry this into eternity. I do not want you to be holding this against them.
Yeah.
But there are things that must be processed by you, and you take care of this either with your heavenly spiritual direction or using your vehicle and your arm on the earth to deal with this. So that is why, so people, you know, people have been abused. You forgive them. You do not want to carry that hurt and that wound in you, but then you hand them over to those who can process it without the emotional and the personal investment.
Mm.
All right? So you do both work in parallel. You can hand it over and work in unforgiveness. So you're clean and you're clear and you're not carrying the angst of it, but you are handing it over to God, either both in heaven.
Yeah.
But also now, through his appropriate people,
that's good.
They deal with it. They process it. Now, the danger is some people say, yeah, that there are people that are guilty, and I know they're guilty. No, people, you know, I know they're guilty, but the courts can't process them, or there's some loophole, or there's not enough evidence. Yeah, and that's really sad. You've just got to work. Okay, well, I don't give that person access to my life.
Yeah.
But I also understand that ultimately God is the ultimate one who brings vengeance.
Mm.
They might have got away with it in this court system, but they will not get away with it.
Mm.
And also it works the other way. Sometimes people have been found guilty on earth for things, but they're innocent.
Yeah.
Well, God will take care of that. You know, we don't want that. We want them released. But God sees the heart, and God can work that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just saying the courts are not perfect. Ultimately, God is perfect.
Yeah.
He gets it right.
That's good, yeah.
When we get it wrong. But at the moment, there is a court system which is his arm of justice here. So I often have to speak that because sometimes people, they're having to get forgiveness or release forgiveness for people for some very wicked things and some very serious things. And they think, if I forgive them, it means I take my hands off. No, you take your hands off personal retribution, but you hand them over to the Lord. And that means spiritually, heavenly, and also governmentally.
Yeah.
You let the Lord process and do that.
Yeah. Like, but sometimes, like, when just in like small things, when someone might have done something to me, I go, Lord, you know, I do forgive them. And now I also give up that right to feel offended or to hold that in my memory. So when those natural feelings like pop up every so often, it's like, nope, I've given up that right to do that. I'm not going to follow that.
I love that. That's a powerful thing, Jay. Josh, what you've said is, I give up my right. What was it? How do you say
my
that?
My right to be offended or hurt.
Yeah. My right to be offended. My right to be hurt. I'm handing that over, because that can. And now, the reason for we've been dealing with this is because that can be a blockage in prayer.
Mm.
It can be something that works against you.
Enough that he led with that straight after, where it doesn't seem like it was a connection, but like it's a big one.
And sometimes it might. And so what you need to do is just walk through life, just being aware that if you're carrying something like that, you need, when the Lord puts his finger on it, don't go searching for it, you know, because to be honest, if you sit here, you can probably think of a dozen people that have hurt you in the past. And just work with a general forgiveness. But if God puts, you know, if you're talking about something, thinking about something, and you suddenly feel the Holy Spirit saying, why is that? What are you doing here? And you say, oh, and I just need to release that. It might be something very fresh. It might be something very serious. If it's very serious or very real to me, I have written letters and saying, God, not to the person. Don't write to the other person.
Not point a good idea.
Okay, I you know, don't write to them. This is between you and God. Yeah. All right. If they need dealing with, and you know, then you take it to authority. It could be your church authority. It could be your government authority. Mm. It could be your boss authority. If it's a workplace situation, you take it to your boss. If it's a church situation, you take it to the pastor, you know, or your home group leader or something. You know, you take it to the appropriate level. You take it, but normally that my letters, they're just to God.
Mm.
All right, that's me personally releasing that person. And what I say in my letters is often I say, God, you know what? And this person has really done this. It's really hurt me and upset me. But you know what? I think about all you've done for me, and you have just wiped my slate clean.
Mm.
I'm like, you know what, God? I'm handing this person over to you, and this is what I say. I say, if you choose to let this go 100%. If they're able to get forgiveness from you, if you're able to use your grace, I want you to do that, because you've been so gracious to me. I'd like them to experience the same grace.
Yeah.
If I get to heaven and I find that, Lord, you've never caused them to have to deal, be held responsible for this, I'm good with that.
Mm.
That's up to you. You are so just
and
so fair and so kind. You will always, Lord, you're looking for opportunities for grace. I'm a benefit of that. Mm. If you're not looking for grace, I would be in trouble.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say, Lord, be tough on them.
Yeah.
Because if you're tough on them, I'm double tough.
That's freely we have received, so freely we give. You know?
Yeah. So, Lord, I'm saying, Lord, the same way you've been so generous with your grace for me, I want you to be that. If I get to heaven and I discover that you never held them to account for this situation, I'm good with that. I don't care. I'm not going to ask. I'm not going to look. I'm not going to say, what did you do to them, Lord? Did you get them? Did you get them, Lord? How did you get them? You know, okay. So they were nasty to me, but their boss was nasty to them. Yeah, victory is mine. You know,
got them.
You know, they were nasty to me, but then they had 2 years of a nasty boss. Well, that serves them right. You know, that type of, you know, God, look, when I get to heaven, I want God to show me all the nasty things. You know, look at what they had to deal with, because look, he hurt you there. Yeah, he said an unkind thing to you, but look, he had, you know, 2 months of really bad situations in his family. Yeah. Okay. I don't want to see those videos when I get to heaven. I don't want to see, what did you do to that? I'm saying, I'm actually releasing God and myself. I'm saying, I'm handing it over to God. I'm handing, putting it in his hands. Your justice and your love and your grace, which you have given to me, I'm asking you to, if possible, if there's any way, let them be fully forgiven, because I'm in benefit of that. And you, Lord, will work out how to orchestrate that, what to happen here on the earth, what to happen in heaven. But as far as I'm concerned, gone. And if I get to heaven, I don't want to know about it. All right, I'm just releasing you. Okay, and then I'll sign it.
Yeah.
Done. Put a date on it. And then I'll stick it on my wall. No, I won't stick it on my wall. I take it, and sometimes I've burned it.
Yeah.
I said, done. For this day, it's done. That's it. No. Mm-hmm. So for serious things, sometimes you've got to get serious.
Yeah.
And because what you've got to do is provide a definite time, because when the emotions and the memories come flooding back, you've got to say, no, done. I'm not chewing on that. No, because that will come back. And the hurts will, and or you're dealing with that person in a current situation, and awaken old memories, or they'll do something again and say, it's just like before. Well, yeah. Hang on, there's no before now, because I've dealt with that.
Yeah.
Now I can just deal with this as a fresh situation. Sometimes I've got to write another letter. you got to deal with it. But, and I'm saying, do I just put up with abuse at work? No, you go to the authorities and work through that, the processes. If it's, and so that there are processes you can work through. But sometimes I need to write a letter, all right? Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's releasing. I was praying, I wasn't really praying. I was just sort of thinking about things and just, doing some Bible reading. I was in God's presence.
Mm.
And I remembered a situation, and some might remember this. I'll just put the details, because it's so long ago. I don't think anyone would, no one's going to, really be upset about it. But this would have been, I don't know, how many years? Maybe Christine can remember. We had a visiting ministry who came, and they said something about, I can see in the spirit a big banner here on the wall of your church and something like that, And we did, and then they went, and then they were going away to minister for a couple of weeks, and then they're coming back to our church. And so in that 2 weeks, we organized a huge working bee to get people in, and we created that the banner they saw. We got it.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of effort and a lot of work. And, some of the people worked really hard and long hours and missed appointments because they were working on it. And it was like, but we did it. And because we thought when that ministry comes back, they're going to see that and go, you guys did it. You guys are awesome. Look at what you've done. I said it, and within 2 weeks, I can't remember the time, but it was like a few weeks. You've done it. You guys, that's amazing. And it was like, we just wanted to see this. Anyway, they came back, and they're like, you got the banner. Nothing. Gave us nothing. All right? Gave us nothing. We wanted them to go, wow.
Look at this banner. That's a good banner.
That's a good banner, and you've done it because we prophesied it, and you did it. You got the banner. Yeah. Anyway, focus on other things. And start talking about...
Moving on.
Yeah. No, we don't move on. Let's camp here for a little bit.
Let's just spend 10 minutes at least.
Yeah. Even if it was 1 minute, please, just really ignite. But moved on. Anyway, you can see how, it didn't bother me.
Doesn't bother you now. It's all fine.
But I'm serious. I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, and I was like, I was annoyed.
Yeah.
How many years later, I'm annoyed.
Yeah.
And God's like, you need to forgive them. And this, out of my spirit, it came, you need to forgive them. And I'm like, it's a long time ago. They don't even know. This is what he says, you need to forgive them. And I thought, well, why? Because there's an angst in there. There's something in your spirit that is out of sorts and out of kilter, connected to that little event. It's little in the sense that, and it's not something I've thought, I don't think, but whenever I did think about it, I always thought about it with that, that memory was connected with a.
Yeah.
And I probably thought about it more than I should. Not that I'm thinking about hardly at all. Like I'm saying, I wouldn't have thought about it for years, but I'm just saying for some reason I was thinking about it and the Lord said, you need to forgive them. What's the Lord doing? He's saying, you need to, there's something in there. just let that go.
Yeah, just good.
You just need to. So now, did I write a letter? I didn't need to write a letter for that one. I didn't need to go and burn it. I didn't need to have a ceremony and do you know what I mean? Because it wasn't that, of that nature. It wasn't something that I've been. But you know what? It said, Lord, I've been just holding something, and I need just to release them. I don't know why. It was important now, but I felt the Holy Spirit put it. Just said, yeah. So you know what? I just took a few minutes. Just released it and forgave and just rolled that onto the Lord. But now there's a time that if I ever feel that, no more.
Mm.
Now, I can get the joy of the Lord in that, and I can get a peace in that. I think I release that. And, you know, one of the things that, and sometimes, now I'm not saying every time like this, you know, you need this, but as I was forgiving, the Lord said, you don't know what they came from. Do you know what I mean? I'm saying, you know, they went away for 2 weeks and they came back. And sometimes, you know, when we judge people, we sort of like, you should be doing this, and this is how you should behave. You know, I'm not sure what they're processing at that time.
Yeah.
And sometimes, okay. Look. And now I'm not saying every time there's an excuse. I'm not saying every time someone does something bad, we find that they're under pressure themselves. I'm just saying that thought came up. You don't know what they were going through.
Yeah.
And that was that. Man, Lord, you know, I'm sorry. I'm sitting there holding this on, you know. And who knows what they were actually having to process at the time. You know, that might have been all they could do was to smile at that moment.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, okay, and I'm here holding, you should have done this, you know. And, just let it go. You know, there may have been a reason why they weren't as free as they were.
Yeah.
There might have been something happening that I'm not aware of. Just let it go. Don't say you should have. That's over.
Like, not specifically in that situation, but like I've heard it said that someone, oh, I don't know, it might be in the Bible, I'm not sure if it is, but it's someone said like hurt people hurt people.
Yes.
And so when someone hurts you, sort of like have that recognizing, not always, okay, not always, but maybe someone hurt them, and instead of offense, compassion will flow for them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Instead of letting that.
Yeah,
had that place.
Yeah, so are you sort of saying like, they were hurt, and then they've turned it. Yeah. And if I take that, I'm continuing the chain.
That's going on. Yeah.
I'm hurt people get hurt, and they hurt others, and I get angry with someone else, and I just always speak about that person with a little bit of reservation.
Yeah.
Because they were a bit, you know, they were nice people, but you know, remember that time, you know, and that's one of the other things. Then you watch. People, you know, but, and then you share that grievance and just keep it alive in your own heart and in the spirit realm. So, 1, 2, 3, make sure that we're asking. Number 3, make sure that we're asking for the will of God, that we're in the right motive and the right attitude. Number 2, that we make sure that we are clear, that we're not carrying stuff into this. We're not, you know, we haven't got sin that's damaging it. We sort that stuff. Do you know what I mean? So, but unless Jesus had given this illustration, I would think that there's always one of those things. It's either because I'm not asking, it's because God doesn't want me to have it, or it's I'm asking outside of the will of God, and I've asked amiss. I've asked something, and God hasn't provided. I must have got this wrong.
Mm.
Or number 2, there is a hidden blockage that I am responsible for. There's a hidden thing that I have done. I've not been faithful here. I've not been loyal here. You know, my faith isn't big enough. You know, now I know we need to build faith and things like that, but sometimes we can sort of become there's something I've done. Now, all those things are real problems that need to be processed. But in this story, how far back do we have to go, do you reckon? That's a lot of scriptures I went to. In Luke 11, in this story, he's saying 1, 2, 3, none of those things apply.
Mm.
None of those things apply. They apply in a whole lot of places, but not in this story.
Mm.
And that's handy for us because it means that when 1, 2, 3 doesn't happen, it's not always just because you've done something wrong. Not because you've asked amiss. Not because you didn't call out to God. And in this situation, he just got... this is the amazing thing. You say, well, what was the problem? You say, okay, that would be my question. Why did he not get what he wanted.
Mm.
Why did he not get it? Was it number one, number two, number three? Jesus never answers the question of why he didn't get it. Did you know that?
No.
He never says this is why it didn't happen. He just said this is what he did to get it to happen. All right, do you understand that?
Yeah.
He never said this is why he didn't sit down. He's not getting it to because this and this. He just moved on to this is what he did, and this is how he got the answer.
Yeah.
So verse 7, he will reply. His friend will reply from inside. Do not bother me. The door is already shut. My children are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though the man inside will not get up and give him anything because he's his friend, because of the first man's sheer persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and it will be given to you.
Yeah.
Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. The one who knocks, the door will be opened. And so sometimes these things, you know, can be taken, ask, seek, knock, as progressive.
Yeah.
Ask, seek, knock.
Yeah.
And there's a point where maybe that does apply, because sometimes we just need to ask. Sometimes we need to seek. Sometimes we need to knock. You need to sort out 1, 2, and 3. Don't knock. Don't get your knuckles all belted up if there's something you need to be doing to sort it out. Mm. All right. Don't knock. Don't knock so hard if it's not really the will of God, because you know, you don't want to knock that door open, even if it is. Okay, don't knock because you're frustrated now. You actually haven't even used your faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, asking in faith, not just asking. You haven't actually put your faith out. You haven't got particular. God says, I would answer your prayer, but I don't even know what it is. Because sometimes guys, you're a little bit vague. God save the world.
You're dancing around the skirts here.
God save the world. Good. Okay, let's what are you believing for?
Yeah.
Okay, what's in your focus? What's in your area? What's in your zone? What can you believe for? What can you do? Go for it. Okay, so 1, 2, 3, and then the answer for this was you just need to put aside all your embarrassment and ask without any shame and just be bold and just be persevering. All right? Sometimes that's what the answer is. One, so God gives illustrations and examples to us in the Word, and so you got to say, you know what, I appreciate he shows situations where 1, 2, 3 we understand it doesn't work.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? I appreciate this is a little gem of an illustration.
Like, in 3 years of ministry for Jesus, he covered everything.
Yeah.
That us here and right now, that if we go through this, there's an answer.
Yeah, and is it the same answer every time? No, it's not. Like I said, the 1, 2, 3. Yeah. But in this one, he said 1, 2, 3 are fine.
That's good.
So this is what you do. And he didn't say this is why he didn't get it, and this is why he had to go home to his friend and say, listen, you know, my friend doesn't give bread at midnight. You know, he didn't say that. He just said he just refused to accept the circumstances.
Yeah.
All right, he refused to accept that this was not going to happen. He said, 1, 2, 3. And so, Josh, you go into the shop, you give them some money, they give you the bread. 1, 2, 3. But sometimes you go into the shop, you give them the money, and they say, I'm not serving you because it's 5 minutes to closing time and I don't want to.
You took my money.
Yeah, you took my money. Yeah, but, you know, you will give me the bread. You might not get it because it's the normal thing for shopkeepers to do, but they will give it to you because you said, I'm not leaving here, I'm not going, I'm not getting out, I'm not really stopped till you give me my bread! Just give him the bread.
Yeah.
You didn't get it because of 1, 2, 3, you got it because you just wouldn't back off.
Yeah.
All right? And you didn't worry what it looked like to you. All right, you didn't think, how are my friends gonna view me? How's everyone gonna see me? What's this shopkeeper gonna think of me? Ignored all that. You didn't care what you look like. You didn't care that you look like an idiot. You didn't care. You didn't try and cover your
bread.
So I just want that bread. I need that bread, and I've got people to feed with that bread. I'm getting that bread. I have people that need that bread. I need you to give me that bread. And 1, 2, 3. So we've been talking about fighting. Okay, the mirror tells us we're in a fight. We gotta lay hold of things. One of the key aspects of fighting is perseverance.
Mm.
All right. Sometimes you just got to persevere for something.
Yeah, that's good.
All right. And one, two, three, it hasn't worked. Well, persevere. Having done, you know, and one of the great passages, we're going to finish on this, Ephesians 6, when it says, this whole passage is about fighting against the enemy, finally be strong in the power of the Lord and strength of his power, clothe yourselves with the full armor of God so you will be able to stand against the scheme of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. For this reason, take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand your ground on the evil. And having done everything, stand. Having done everything, stand. Mm. Sometimes the spiritual fighting comes down to just not giving up.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a 1, 2, 3, we've got to check our armor, we've got to do all those things. We have the shield and we've got the sword, we defend and then we attack, we do all that. And sometimes it just comes down to the fact that you stand.
Hmm.
All right? And you just got to be shameless and say, I'm not giving up on that. And I appreciate that Jesus gave us an illustration, and he gave another one later on with Luke 17, where he says, you know, the widow. The unjust judge.
Unjust judge, yeah.
And give me justice. We're not going to look at it because I'm going to close here. But give me justice. And I was like, how could Jesus be comparing God with an unjust judge? And he's not comparing God with he's just saying there are situations. It's another one like the 1, 2, 3. This is not how it should be.
Yeah.
You should go to the judge and you should get justice.
Mm.
All right? Jesus is not like a friend who's can't be bothered at midnight. Jesus is not like the judge who doesn't want to give justice. He's not saying that. He's saying when 1, 2, 3 seems to be out of kilter, well, it's perseverance that pushes through that.
Mm.
Now, you can't use perseverance if the 1, 2, 3 aren't sorted. All right? Just shouting at God because he won't give you another man. You know, I want... You know, that lady says, I'm praying for that man. Don't persevere with that. Don't just shout louder. That's not, you know, if you've got unforgiveness in your heart, don't shout so loud just so God doesn't have to deal with your unforgiveness. Sort that out.
Yeah.
Shouting doesn't replace asking with faith. Do you know what I mean? If I just ask loud and consistently, God says, well, actually ask me in faith. Get in faith.
Mm.
Get in faith. Make sure you're asking with the right motives. Make sure you're asking for the right thing. Make sure that there's nothing in your life that is working against this. Then shout. Then hold fast.
Mm.
Because there is a time when it doesn't matter, even if all those things are in play, you still just need to hold fast and you just need to get in before God. And you say, why? Why? With the unjust judge, it didn't say, why was the just judge unjust? What? How did you turn the judge? Why was the friend unwilling to get up?
Yeah, wasn't the point.
Wasn't the point. You never actually changed the judge and you never changed the friend.
Yep.
It says they simply got up and gave the request because of the plan.
Yep.
It wasn't about, well, God, what, you know, so the question won't be, God, why didn't I get that? God, why didn't I? God says, well, the key is you got it because you held fast.
Mm, that's good.
It's not why you didn't get it. It's you got it because you just held fast there.
Yeah.
And you kept pressing against this and you didn't let it go.
Mm.
Our fighting and perseverance go hand in hand. That's a real key to what you're doing. Anytime we're in a fight, sometimes we get the answer quickly. Other times we will just have to hold and fight and do that. All right. So... thank you so much. We've got Jay watching on both YouTube and Facebook by the look of it. So as a double, I can see comments from Jay coming through both his accounts.
Who's that person? That's Jay.
Thank you everyone who's joined us and the comments that you've given. I appreciate that. Mm. Kristen says, Josh, cherry ripes can be dangerous. I'm glad people got the big, got things that are really important.
Yeah.
Appreciate the comments, and if you've got any prayer requests, anything like that, let us know. You can go to breakthrough.org.au. You can just send us a message and then contact us. It'll come through to me. I get that on my my contacts, and so I will personally be able to see anything that comes through, so we can have prayer with you, get in touch with you. But I appreciate you taking your hunger to understand and know the word of God.
Yeah.
So that you can be like mirror, mirror, say like this, this. See what I'm saying, mirror, mirror works in this that way. You've looked into the word of God today to understand what your life's like.
Yeah.
Now you've got to see yourself, I'm that's what I am. I'm like that friend that doesn't give up.
Yeah, that's good.
All right. So you now you say that's who I am. I've seen in the mirror that who are you? I'm that I'm the person with all that armor on. I'm standing. That's me. And then you come against it and you get that resistance. I know. I'm done for you. All right. So bless you. I'll leave it. I'm running for a couple of minutes so that if anyone's got any final comments, we can do that. We'll close in about 3 minutes' time. Bless you, Josh. Why don't you pray for the people and then we'll close.
Lord God, we thank you for today. It's such a powerful and anointed time. We just bless everyone that has been here today, everyone that might watch this in the future, Father God. We just thank you that you are doing good things for them and you are opening doors as they are persistent with it, Father God. So we just bless them. We know that you're working, that you're moving, and that they are blessed and that they will see and have everything that you have for them, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, bless you guys, we will see you next Friday.